What we need to learn to do is to run to the Lord when we're in time of need rather than going somewhere else, because He can help us. Amen. Thank you, guys. Great job. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, I want to continue the series on the spirit of faith today. You know, I've noticed, and I know, that difficulties of life come to all of us, everybody. No one is exempt from these things. Everybody has to deal with them. You know, sometimes we see different people and think they got it made, that they never have any problems or any trouble. You know, sometimes people think we ministers never face anything. But hey, we're just like you. We have our problems. We have, difficulties that come across our path. We have our family problems. We have our financial problems. We have physical problems. You know, we're just human like anybody else, you know. If I pinch myself, it hurts. If I fall down and skin a knee, it hurts. You know, but if you're going to make it through, you're going to have a spirit of faith or an attitude of faith in order to be successful when we face all these situations in life. You know, sometimes people say, well, they so-and-so got an attitude. Hey, I want it said about all of us here that we got an attitude of faith. We all need to catch an attitude. We need to get the attitude of faith. Hello? Of course, you know our main scriptures for the whole series is 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. I'll let you turn there. I'll try to slow down. You know, I cut and paste them here so I don't have to turn to them. But you do. So you can either go on your device, iPad, iPhone, or something. Oh, hey, if you didn't check in here at Rhema Church on your Instagram and your Twitter, and I don't have either one of them, but I do have my Facebook, so I checked in. How many of you have checked in at Rhema Bible Church this morning? Oh, good. This is the best way of advertisement right here. You hold it in your hand. Hallelujah. All right. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, he is actually quoting from the Psalms from David. I want to read this from another paraphrase, Johnson paraphrase. We have the same attitude of faith possessed by one of our past leaders. I believe, so I declare. We also believe and state what it means to us. Now, Paul is talking here about a spiritual attitude within ourselves. I want you to notice Paul didn't say, I have the same spirit of faith. He said, we have the same spirit of faith. We, that's us. Everybody has the same spirit of faith. You know, if we look at this verse in context, we see that Paul dealt with different difficulties in his life. You know, we should note that the way he got through all of his difficulties was by having this attitude of faith, the attitude of never give up. You know, now, somebody said, well, why is it necessary for us to look at Paul and see how he did all this? Well, one reason is because he's the one that wrote more about faith and believing God and trusting God and having faith in God than anybody else in the whole New Testament. But also, we ourselves are no different than what he was, and we are going to face difficulties, and we are going to face hardships, and we are going to face trouble. And so if he made it through his tests and trials with a spirit of faith or the attitude of faith, then you and I can make it through our trials, our difficulties, with this attitude or spirit of faith. How many of you are with me? All right. Now, I want to share some of these truths this morning from the life of the Apostle Paul. and see how that he maintained his attitude of faith. Now, Paul moved and lived in Christ. In fact, in Acts 17:28, he says, I live and move and have my being in him. Or in him, actually, it starts out in him. We live and move and have our being. And then in Acts 20:24, he said, but none of these things move me. He's talking about some situations in the previous verses. And he said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Actually, in the preceding verses, it was talking to him about trouble and that awaited him if he went the direction that he said he was going. And he went, and let me start over here again. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul never lost sight of his God-given direction. Paul never lost sight of what happened to him on the Damascus Road when he was struck to the ground and had an experience with God. We would call it a salvation experience. How many of you have had a salvation experience with God? How many of you remember that salvation experience? But you see, just because that we become Christians, we become born again through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not exempt us from problems and trials and tests. Paul, he knew this. And he said in later years, in Acts 26:19, he said, I have been faithful to the heavenly vision. I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now, Paul, okay, now let's see. What happened here? What's going on with Paul here? Number one, he stayed totally focused on Jesus Christ and what was accomplished on the cross. We need to understand our position in Christ. Have you ever noticed the in him and in Christ scriptures give us an idea who we are in Christ? It gives us, it shows us our privileges, our rights of who we are in Christ. Now, because you're a part of the family of God, there are rights and privileges that belong to us. Just like you are a part of a natural family, so there are things that belong to you because you are a part of that family. Am I right or wrong? That's us. And then, you know, most guys, I don't know how the ladies do it because I don't know how they think, but most of us guys, if nobody knows how they think, any man that says he understands a woman's line, anybody agree with me? You guys agree with me? Oh man, I got hands going up everywhere. But, you know, you can, a guy, somebody might say, well, you know, I we need this to work on this car. We need this for something. Oh, I got one. And somebody say, no, you don't have one. Yeah, my dad does. It's in the garage. So if it's his, it's mine. How many of you guys ever thought that way? How many of you guys ever went over in dad's garage and got something, didn't even tell him about it? Why? Because of who you are, you consider those possessions that they're there. You can use them anytime you get ready. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You know, one time Craig was preaching somewhere, and Richie King was with him, and Craig said he had a bass boat. After the service, Rich said, "Craig, you don't have no bass boat." He said, "Yes, I do. Dad has one, so if he has one, I have one." Hey, whatever in Christ, whatever the promises of God are ours too. Because we're part of the family. But you have to know these things. You have to know the in Christ truths. And this is what caused Paul to have such a strong attitude of faith to face all the circumstances of life. I want to encourage you, and I'll probably in the coming future, I'll probably do some in Christ teaching again. I know we did one a couple, 3 years ago, I did it. But we need to, how many realize we need to revisit things ever so often? And especially in Christ realities. We need to visit those. I mean, there's a little book out there in the bookstore called In Him. You might want to get in and read it. It's got all the scriptures about in Christ, in Him, in whom, that we have these things. See, life circumstances will push you and shove you around and kick you around as long as you let it. But you have to know who you are in Christ and stand your ground. That attitude of faith empowers you. Hello. You know, most of you drove your car here this morning. Now, if you go out there and there's a person unloading all of your personal belongings out of that car and saying, "Okay, this is my car," I don't think any of you are going to stand there and say, "Wait, no, okay, I'm sorry. I thought this was my car, but I guess it's..." Hello? Am I right or wrong? You know what belongs to you, and you're going to fight for it. The enemy comes in, the devil comes in, and he starts stealing what belongs to you in Christ. He starts taking it away from you, and you say, "Well, I thought the Lord healed me, but I guess he didn't. I thought the Lord was going to provide, but I guess that's not going to work this time." Hey, that's what the devil wants you. You need, when that happens, when the enemy comes in, you got to have that attitude of faith and stand up and say, "Now, wait a minute here. Come on. Wait a minute. This is going wrong. This is not the way it's supposed to be." But when you know the in him realities, it causes you to boldly rise up in faith and say, "Hey, all right, Mr. Devil, stop. You're going as far as you're going to go." I got some people with me this morning. Good. You know, all of you know that I grew up in a home by the man of the name Kenneth Hagin, that they say was the modern day faith father or whatever. He didn't like that title, but they give it to him. You know, and I watched him deal with difficult situations all through life. You know, for 18 years, I was there in the house. I watched him. Health situation. Financial situations, transportation problem, situations with relatives, situations with dealing with all the criticism and accusations about other ministers. But he just kept on preaching the message of faith. He just kept on preaching what the promises of God are, belong to the Christian, and they have a right to demand what belongs to them. Just like we have a right to demand what belongs to us as citizens of the United States of America. Hello, you have rights and privileges that are yours because of the country that you are a part of. We have rights and privileges because of being a part of the family of God. And we can demand our rights. You know, he just kept on. He didn't let any of those things move him or deter him. His attitude, excuse me, his attitude, and some of you that have got to be close to him know this. His attitude was, God said it, I believe, and that settles it. That was his attitude. That's what all of us should have. That should be all of our attitude of faith. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I mean, you can't say it much clearer than that, can you? That's it. But you know, some people will say, I believe it, God said it, I believe it, but they haven't got the settled part, because whenever the enemy comes in and begins to put pressure on them, instead of standing up boldly with the attitude of faith, they wilt like a flower in a hot July sunshine out here in Oklahoma. How many of you know what a hot July sunshine is like in Oklahoma? About 100 and something degrees, triple digits. You know, the sidewalk gets so hot out there that if you put a little oil and break an egg, you could fry it on right there on that sidewalk. I guarantee you. See, you have to be determined to put your entire focus on what God said in his word and disregard what anything else says. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Say it with me. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's the attitude of faith. You know, how many people I got here from Texas? I got any Texas people here? We have a different attitude than the other states. When the going gets rough down there, and it looks like you're going under, somebody will yell, remember the Alamo. How many Texans know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand, you know what I'm talking about. That spirit rises up in you. Hello. It's just, that's what we need. Hey, when the devil comes in and he begins to throw you around, you need to raise up and throw your hand in the air and say, remember Calvary. Hello. Because right there is where it was all taken care of. You see, even though those 187 faithful people died in the Alamo, that was the beginning of our victory. That was the beginning of the end. I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus died on the cross on Calvary, that was the beginning of the end. Hallelujah. That was the end of defeat and the beginning of victory. Glory to God. You know, Paul believed what God had promised. You know, Acts 27, 25 and 26. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. NLT says, so take courage, for I believe God it will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. Now, up above that, God told him, the ship's going to be destroyed, but nobody will lose their life if everybody does what you say. And he told him, he said, I believe God. He spoke these words in the middle of a storm that was going to take the ship, but they're all going to be saved. Hello. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. He heard the word of the Lord. We hear the word of the Lord right here. When you read it. When you hear somebody else read it. When you hear it on the CD as it's playing. We hear the word of the Lord. An attitude of faith is based, and get this now, upon what an unchangeable God has promised in his unchangeable word. I don't get that again. Don't you get that one? An attitude of faith is based upon what an unchangeable God has promised in his unchangeable word. He said there in Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. He gives his word and that's it. You know, in years gone by, and some of us are old enough to remember, when a person's word was his bond, he didn't need a lawyer, he didn't need anything else. If he gave his word, that was it. My grandpa, my mom's dad, he used to tell me, he used to say, in fact, Rooker Memorial Auditorium, that's named after him, E.H. Rooker, E.H. Rebel Rooker. I don't know where that his nickname was Rebel. I don't know where that come from. He never did tell me. But he told me when I was, you know, he died when I was in the sixth grade. So I was, down there fourth, fifth, sixth grade. He said, son, a man is only as good as his word. That was a number of years ago when I was in the sixth grade. But I can still hear those words in my head today. Son, a man is only as good as his word. I don't have to have a piece of paper with my name on it. I don't have to have an attorney. If I shake a man's hand and say I'll do it, I will do what I said if it costs me money out of my own pocket. You know, it would really be great if our world got back to that. You can even have contracts today and they still look for loopholes to get out of it. Let me tell you what. God said it, and it's unchangeable, and he's not looking to get out of it. But he is looking for a people that will believe his unchangeable word and begin to receive all of the benefits that God said belongs to you right here. Anybody excited about that? I am. I'm excited about the fact that God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Hallelujah. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, and I know we refer to him, and I know that his ministry was way back there in the 30s. He went on to be with the Lord in what? I think it was 47, I think. But he had some good books. One of them is Ever Increasing Faith. And if you haven't ever read Ever Increasing Faith, I suggest you read it. How many of you have read Smith Wigglesworth? Oh, man, a lot of you have. Keep your hand up. How many of you recommend that somebody read that book? Wave it if you recommend it. Yes. He said, I like this. He said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. Talking about believing the word of God. See, it's time that we begin to realize and begin to say when the enemy comes in, it's not over. I'm not going under. I have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. When it looks like defeat, it's not defeat. It looked like defeat, but yet they were all saved. Paul was determined to triumph over all things in Christ. See, these are just a few things in his attitude of faith. Now, let's look at these scriptures. Romans 8:37. That they'll give us an insight into Paul's attitude of faith toward God. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yet in all these things. He's talking about trials, tribulations, so forth and so on. Then in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then 2 Corinthians 2:14. I better slow down so you can get there. I'm going too fast. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. See, his attitude of faith is developed on... This shows us, I guess I should say it that way, be better. This shows us his attitude of faith. And he you know... Some people say, well, that's the Apostle Paul. Well, wait a minute. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. He lists a bunch of some of the stuff that he went through. And yet he still said, always triumphed in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read out of the NLT here. I mean, not the NLT, the, which one is this one? NIV, yeah, NIV. Okay, I got it. NIV. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. That means 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. And yet he said, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. If he can go through all of that, and then say, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. That's that attitude of faith. That attitude, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. You know, sometimes people think because they're going through situations and problems and so forth, they think they're out of the will of God. I believe Paul had plenty of opportunities, if you're going by that, to think he was out of the will of God. All this happened to him on those missionary journeys that he went on. 3 different ones. You know, let me tell you a little secret. You cannot use the presence or the absence of trials, tests, problems as a determining factor if it's the will of God or not. Instead, you hold on to the attitude of faith. One of them says, and it's my way of saying it, you know, I can't go under for going over. Because that's what God said. We can't go down. He's always there. When we trust God, we will triumph. Now, it didn't say that you might go through some things. Paul went through some stuff, didn't he? And yet, he's the one that wrote more about faith than anything else. See, so many times we talk about the side because we want people to get a hold of it and believe God and get excited. But sometimes faith people fail to tell you that they have faced the trial and they had to hang on to come out and to be victorious. You will too. None of us are trial free. But all of us are guaranteed by the word of God to come out on the other side victorious. See, Paul said, I always triumphed in Christ Jesus. Well, you can't have a triumph or a victory without going through a battle. Everybody loves the victory party, but nobody likes the battle. I mean, man, when you're out there in a football game, and man, it is nip and tuck all the way, and you've been hit so hard your head is swimming, and they call your play to go out and you run out for a bomb touchdown. I mean, a long fly pattern, and your legs are hurting. You've been hit so hard that you wonder if you can stand to be hit again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? And that quarterback calls that play, and them old boys up front in the line that's been there in the trenches, because they said, have we got to hold them out one more time? But that attitude rises up. We're going to win this thing. It was no fun out there on that field with it being cold and wet and you're muddy. And I got a broke finger besides. Caught 3 touchdown passes with a broke finger one night. But I want to tell you what. When that final gun goes off and that scoreboard says that you won, all of that stuff just sort of fades in the background. How many of you guys have been there know what I'm talking about? We're the champs. We got it made. I want to tell you why. Whenever you when you trust God and just stand there and grit your teeth and say, all right, Mr. Devil, the Bible says it. I'm going to have victory. And now you get through that situation, you begin to shout and enjoy the party because you made it through because God said you could. They told you you couldn't, but you did. Hello. I learned this attitude of faith from watching Dad. And I watch people, and people have prophesied that. And I mean, when I'm in the ministry with him, they have prophesied our doom. Actually, they didn't prophesy, they prophesied. Instead of prophesying, because we're still here and they're gone. The guy that said it, he said he's going to take us down. He's not here no more. He's gone. I got news for you. As long as the Hagans are around, as long as that face shield stands on top of that building up there, Craig, Denise, Lynette, and I, we're determined to keep preaching the message of faith. And keep encouraging you to do the same thing. And together, today, we can triumph in Christ Jesus. We believe and say, none of these things move me. That's all of us. We believe and say we triumphed in Christ. We believe and say we're more than conquerors through Christ. We believe and say we have victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me close this with the word faith, like I've done the other two times. The F stands for focus continually on God's mighty promises. The I acknowledges God's promises are possible. I insist on God's promises coming to pass. T, think and meditate on God's promises. And the H, hold on to your confession of God's promises. Because if you will, you'll come out victorious. I believe this morning, for us who believe the word of God and stand when everything looks like it's going under, a new strength will come upon us. And we'll face our difficulties without wavering. And we'll see the promises of God come to pass in our lives. It takes an attitude. I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. And God's word is true, and it will work for me every time, any place, anywhere, anytime. This is what God said. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. Heavenly Father, we spoke to the people today for a few moments to try to stir up their hearts and their minds to realize that if they will maintain that attitude of strong faith, there is no way that they will go under, but they will triumph in you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Did you get anything this morning? I want you to get a hold of that strong attitude of faith. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? I never like to preach a message that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. Because there may be somebody in this crowd today that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You may be here today and you know what it is to be a part of the family of God, but you know you're not where you should be and you need to rededicate your life to God. Or you may be in this place and you may be like a lot of people. You go to church, but you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand in this room right now. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, wherever, right now, lift your hand. I need Christ. I need to rededicate. I need a no-so experience. Anybody, anywhere in the room right now, let me see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Lift your hands and thank God that we're all born again in here today. And if there is one that is not born again, Lord, if there is one that needs to pray the prayer of rededication, I pray, Father, that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will go with them from this place, and they will not be able to do anything until they stop and acknowledge your Son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stand up, please. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, turn to your neighbor and say, have you got an attitude? I mean an attitude of faith. Hallelujah. Before we go there, as people are watching, I don't know how many countries, they'll put it up in a minute. But right now, we have prayer requests from out there, agreement for finances. One person in Missouri having triple bypass surgery, more agreement for successful surgery and quick recovery. Okay. And here's somebody from South Dakota, I guess. Prayer for complete recovery from an ACL reconstruction surgery. Reach hands toward that red light right there. That camera's on. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. We agree for finances for Emmanuel for school. We agree with Jim that's having the triple bypass surgery tomorrow. We agree. We come in, we put our faith with his, where his faith is, that for successful surgery and a quick recovery with no complications. Father, I thank you for this one that needs recovery from this ACL reconstruction. I pray for complete recovery and wholeness in Jesus' name. Now put your hands up and thank God it's done. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do we know? Oh, here. We got United States, South Africa, Nigeria, Guatemala, Kenya, Australia, Canada, Colombia, Germany, Hungary, Ireland, Portugal, Taiwan, Ukraine, Sweden, France, Brazil, Qatar, Iraq, and Norway. That's where they're watching us from today. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Thank God. Staff, you need to go to the doors. I know. Thank you. I appreciate the help. Connection team, would you please go find our first time guest? Connection team, please go find our first time guest and take them to the connection room to get that special gift that we got prepared for them. Nobody else moving unless you absolutely have to. Nobody else moving unless you absolutely have to. We so thank you for being with us as first time guests today. If you're looking for a church home, you know, you heard us say it a while ago, welcome home. So, hey, just come on back here and join our family. We have a great time serving God Unlimited right here. Hallelujah to Jesus. They're going to sing a chorus, and they're going to dismiss you, okay? They're going to dismiss you in just a minute. Let me get off the platform and get to the door out there. Hey, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock right here. Come believe and come expect it. Next Sunday morning, 10 a.m. right here. Come believe and thank all of you that were with us on the internet today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, keep your attitude.